Maximum Health with your host, Dr. Ken Gray. Dr. Gray obtained his master's in both acupuncture and oriental medicine from the Atlantic Institute of Oriental Medicine. Dr. Gray enjoys both being a physician as well as being an educator. His unique approach to holistic healing has taken him abroad to lecture in Germany and treat sports professionals in Hawaii and France. He is co-author of several books on food therapy. His office is in Jupiter, Florida, where he has practiced for over a decade and where he resides. Now it's time for Maximum Health with Dr. Ken Gray.
What would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah. Oh, baby, how did I? All I need is my brother. I say I'm gonna get high.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Maximum Health. We are Quality Living. And this is Dr. Ken Gray, holistic physician. As always, we bring you a wonderful guest or guests every week, Friday at 7 p.m. on NPR. That's WQCS 88.9 FM. And for any of you that are out there that love to follow us and listen to past shows, or if you have to pull away from this show for any horrible reason, there's always prx.org, the public radio exchange, and that is a free service for podcasts. And we have today the amazing, I'm so happy to be on the phone with these guests, because as you know, Maximum Health is so much more than just what we do to our bodies, what we put in our bodies. It's everything. Food is the air we breathe. Food is our atmosphere. Food is our relationships. It's our surroundings. And I really truly believe we have this amazing mission right now to bring and restore balance to the way we view our role as neighbors, role as tenders to this planet, role as caregivers, physicians, teachers, everything. And there are two individuals that I have on the line today that have taken this to heart, that took a life change and truly ran with it in a new direction, making things so beautiful in their place in the world that has resonated and rippled and vibrated to such a magnitude that it's just catapulted them and everyone they touch into a successful way of living and being. We have the Beekman boys. They're known as that, but they are Josh Kilmer Purcell and Brent Ridge. Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. We couldn't have asked for a better introduction.
Oh, geez. Well, you touched me, and you touched quite a few people that I've known, and I'm in Florida, and you're all the way up in New York right now, correct?
That's right. Our farm is in upstate New York, right. Sharon Springs, New York.
Yes.
About 3.5 hours north of the city.
Yes. And now, I know part of the history is you started as Manhattanites. Seen some of your docs. And more importantly, you were, what did you call it? Besides Manhattanites, you were kind of, not uppity, but what was the word you used?
Well, we always say that we were obnoxious.
Obnoxious, yeah.
Yes.
So, and I'm from Queens, and we don't get to be too obnoxious from Queens. But well, we're close enough.
I was a physician, and Josh was a writer. And in 2006, we decided on a whim to buy a property in upstate New York that we were going to use on the weekends, really, just to start gardening and kind of growing our own food, just as an escape from the city.
Yeah.
And had cashed in everything that we had ever earned up to that point in our lives, took out a huge mortgage and bought this farm property. And then in 2008, we both lost our jobs in the recession.
Right.
And had to figure out how to make the farm itself.
And these were not just jobs. I mean, Josh, you know, was a advertising executive and New York Times bestselling author of I Am Not Myself These Days and The Bucolic Plague. And Brent, physician, former vice president of healthy living for Martha Stewart, OmniMedia. I mean, these were like very significant jobs.
Yeah, we were wrapped up in our careers. Mm-hmm. There is no doubt.
Yeah. And here you are. This changed, and you changed with it rather than trying to, as you say, press the reset button. you came up with a new game plan, but it wasn't just you.
No, it really was our community. You know, as we were trying to start our business and turn our, you know, turn our farm into a business, we first took in a neighboring farmer who was losing his farm, and he had a herd of 80 goats. And he said, you know, could I please bring my goats to your property to graze? Otherwise, I'll have to sell my herd. And so we said, of course, because who can turn away, you know, homeless goats, let alone a homeless farmer? And so he brought them, and we literally Googled, what can we make with the goat milk? and you know, obviously several things came up, goat milk cheese. And
a thousand and one things you can make with goat milk.
With goat milk. There are obviously quite a few. But the one that was easiest for us to get started with, to kind of start bringing in an income at the beginning, was to make goat milk soap. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we started the company. And then as we started working with our neighbors, you know, to hire people to help us wrap the soap and make the soap and whatnot, they would introduce us to another neighbor. You know, soap maker Jeff would say, oh, have you met Weaver Karen? And then Karen would say, oh, have you met Blacksmith Michael? And so we just started meeting all of the neighbors in our community who were doing all of these really amazing things. And we formed this collective that became Beekman 1802, which is the name of our company. And, you know, we were always very clear from the mission of what we were doing, and as we started working with all the artisans, that our company would only be successful if every single person who's involved is successful. And so that's how the kind of the Beekman neighborhood grew and, you know, has just grown around the world now.
And I know one of your slogans and mottos is, no matter the distance, we are neighbors. And, you know,
right.
We know that there's so much out there in the spiritual world that says we should love the neighbor as ourselves. And you've been doing that in such a tremendous way. It's so much that I felt you all the way, like I said, here in Florida, and who knows where else other people are enjoying the love you put into your goods and into your community and everything you're doing. Now, I just want to say, this is not a general farm show, because everyone's doing this food and farm and organic and non-GMO and farm to table. But this is so much more than that. And I just want our listeners to know, this is not the typical farm. And what makes it not the typical farm is, like you said, you went and you included one by one every artisan within your general universe and radius, and from a blacksmith to a weaver, I know. And all of them, you've sort of used, of course, the goats and the goat milk, but to make these home goods, so much that in our household, we have my wife's favorite things is the soaps, the wipes, all and most of these gifts, just so you know, was a patient of mine brought them to me. So the reason that I know about you is a patient who came to love me wanted to share what she loves in her life and what she uses.
Oh,
okay,
that,
so
that just gave me shivers. we call that spreading the love.
Yes,
and you know, we really do focus on putting all of our resources into developing a quality product, no matter what we're producing, whether it's something for the home, whether it's something for the skin, whether it's one of our cookbooks. We put that focus on the quality. And what has been so profound to us, and this is having been, you know, city dwellers where you're kind of isolated and very career focused, is how the message of not only quality, but being a part of some sort of collective and community of people, mm-hmm. Is so powerful. It has only become more powerful given the divisions that have happened in our country over the last several years. People really are longing for a sense of cohesion.
Yes.
And a sense of community.
Yes.
And it's just so powerful and so needed.
The you know, and just back to, I just want to share again, because this wonderful patient, I don't want to give her name, but she knows who she is. Thank you. She came and she says, okay, with the wipes, you got to put them in the freezer. And when you come home from a hot day, you got to wipe your face with it, and it'll cool you right down. She comes in.
I mean,
go ahead.
We call all of our customers neighbors. So it doesn't matter where you are in the world, you're a neighbor. And we call something like that happening, we call that spreading the love.
Yeah. And you also have... you've made with the bags. She comes in with the bags with the goats on it, which are wonderful. And it, she always has like pumpkin bread that she makes, this amazing pumpkin bread, and she shares it with my office and my family.
That sounds like a big neighbor.
That's the whole concept. So look, this is all well and good, and it's so important, but I know there are people out there that may say, you know what, it's easy when you know how, but when you started this, you really didn't know how. You had leadings, you had signs, and I want to talk with the advertising specialist we got here. So Josh, you're the advertising back. You have the advertising background, and here you are. You're both here in the beginnings. You are receiving signs of what can be done to save your farm. This is pre-soaps, pre-everything, and then you come up with these. You're shown these goods and things that can be done, but you got to sell it.
Yeah.
Was there a part of the time when you just said, this is impossible? How do I do this? Or, you know, how do you get from making everything, all these wonderful goods, and then to selling them to such a magnitude that you're one of the greatest up and coming, whole living companies out there?
Well, actually, it wasn't a challenge at all. Having, a longtime advertising background, and working on large corporate clients, and a lot of whom I didn't feel good about working on. And they weren't cigarette companies or anything, but they weren't products or brands that I necessarily believed in. So when it came to marketing something I really believed in, which was our community of artisans and craftspeople, and these amazing things that they were making in creating this brand, I really felt that I'd finally found what I was supposed to do with whatever skills I had, and that was to really just spread the word of this amazing community that we were a part of. And so it came very naturally and very easily.
So much easily that now you're one of the fastest growing lifestyle brands in the country. And that's the source of that is NASDAQ. So this is a big deal.
Yeah, that's what they tell us. But every time I hear it, it makes me more anxious.
So you spend most of your time on the farm now, or do you go back and forth to Manhattan still, or what's...
We no longer have a residence in Manhattan, but we travel quite a bit for business. Like I said, our main job, as we see it, is to spread the word of the artisans and craftspeople, in our area and the products that we make, and bring it out to the rest of the world. So we are based on the farm. It's still just Brent, myself, and Farmer John on the farm. We run the entire farm, the very last thing we do will be to hire help on the farm, because it's the farm itself that serves as the inspiration for everything we do, and really keeps us grounded in the things that we believe in.
Hmm. What are some of your favorite products that you have come to enjoy from this process?
Well, it's funny because Brent really loves the bath and body and beauty aspect of it, and I come from the foodie aspect. Some of my favorite products are things like this hot fudge that's made from a local, candy maker. It's just amazingly old-fashioned and rich. And then we have a tomato sauce that is made with heirloom tomatoes, and 25% of the profits go to help small farmers around the country. So I love the food aspect of it, where I'm sure Brent would talk to you about the soaps and, how we've sold over 2 million bars of soap last year alone, just based on how much people loved it.
And how do you create these wonderful soaps and wipes? Because I know when I look at the ingredients, it's all natural and mm-hmm. beautiful, and I have no problems using it. And I'm a stickler about that. I'm more of a rose water and jojoba oil kind of guy for years. I don't really even like lotions per se, but I will use your products. And so will my wife. My wife is an aesthetic nurse, and she has been for about 20 years. She's amazing what she does, but she is very particular, and she will use your products. So how do you go about constructing them and making them so pure and doing it in such a costly way? And again, I'm asking these questions because this is encouraging. I want to encourage more people to do more of this work of community and following their dreams and involving their neighbors and and doing it in such a way that they can make an impression and not, it's not like you went in there and steamrolled everything and decided to put up a 50-story hotel. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you didn't kill the goats and say, okay, we don't need it. You went and used everything and you made something beautiful out of it. So the questions I'm asking, I'm assuming there are people out there, say, how did they do this? So
I'll tell you, you talk about all the amazing things that go into our products and inequality, and the one thing, and this sounds maybe trite, but the one thing that doesn't go into anything is greed.
And thank you.
We make a profit margin on our products that provides a suitable lifestyle for our employees and for the makers that make the products, and feed the goats and pay our heating bills. We don't believe in just creating massive profit margins so that we have to return something to shareholders or just create obscene amounts of profit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean
you don't need a 250-foot yacht or gold laden walls and chairs.
Yeah, our farm pond is really small. I'm not sure that we could fit the yacht in it.
Maybe
someday we'll make a bigger pond.
Mm-hmm. That's important. I think that's the thing we are missing, and that's what our new generation needs to really take to heart. That part of our healing is a human animal needs to be to get rid of the greed.
Yeah, I mean, there really and truly is only so much that you can do with money. And I don't want to sound like Brent and I are martyrs or whatever. We of course want to achieve our dreams, but we know what our dreams are, there's things like traveling and meeting people and eating nice food. They're not flying around the world in a private jet, and I really believe that we need to recalibrate, and I think people are recalibrating.
I think that's important, and you are helping us. So going forward, just remind us, how do we get to you when we need to go to Beekman 1802?
Oh, yeah, beekman1802.com will get to us directly, and then there's also a listing on there for the stores that carry our products around the country.
Okay, and you accept visitors. People can stay at the hotel. Is the hotel also part of Beekman 1802, or is that a separate establishment?
Oh no, that's a separate establishment. But in Sharon Springs, there's an amazing place called the American Hotel, which we love when people come visit our little village.
Mm-hmm. And with the going forward, what are some of the things we can look for from Beekman 1802? What are some of the wonderful creations you have on the horizon?
Yes, well, our latest cookbook just came out. It's called Seat at the Table, and it's a sort of a love letter to our community. And then our magazine comes out quarterly, so that's been growing very rapidly, and it's all about cultivating a better life with recipes and inspirational stories and articles. So Beekman 1802 Almanac is called.
That sounds wonderful. Reminds me of a book I wrote. I co-wrote a book called Health and Balance, and it was really about a life. It was my co-wrote with a wonderful woman, Carol Maglio, who survived cancer and decided that life was more than, what she had previously thought, and just explored food and just so much. She gave so much to this book, but it's seasonal and all that, and you can find it on Amazon. It's an ebook as well, and it involves how to heal the body with foods from a traditional Chinese perspective, which is my background. So we put the two worlds together and made something phenomenal. But I like that you have an almanac, and that I'm assuming that it has a lot of information besides just the recipes.
Oh yes, it has stories and tips about our life on the farm, things that we've learned. We always the tagline is cultivate a better life, because we believe too many magazines and television shows and other media out there lead you to believe that there's just secrets to getting a better life, but we believe you need to work at it. Part of a better life is that work.
Now, how has your family taken to your change? I'm assuming that, of course, you have your relatives, and then you have your family, your new family, which is your community that you've built. Do they come and visit you? How do they respond to this change of your life from your original careers? Because I'm sure there was some, oh, are you sure this is the right decision? What about this? What about your bills? What, you know, questions and doubts and fear come into play.
We both have wonderfully supportive families, and they're both actually conservative value families as well, but at the same time, very supportive. And, you know, I think that we've built enough trust with them over the years. They may not understand what we do or have the same point of view as, you know, as we have, but at the same time, they trust that what we do works best for us. So we've never had a problem with our family, and in fact, they love to come visit. They help take part in the festivals. The Beekman neighbors around the world are Facebook friends with our parents, and it's, you know, they've actually become leaders in our little Beekman neighborhood.
Mm. Now, if I can go back to Brent for a little bit before we end. I have some questions for Brent.
Yeah.
And thank you so much, Josh. Such a pleasure.
Oh, thank you. Hi there.
Hey. So I'm looking at, obviously we spoke so much about almost everything, but what about the television show? Tell me about the television show.
Well, the television show is, we no longer produce that, but it ran for 2 years on the Cooking Channel. And the way that happened was that there was a TV executive who started reading our website and just fell in love with the story about starting your life over. And that's how the Fabulous Beekman Boys show came about. And that show really documented in a very real way our struggles to keep the farm afloat, and how we started the company and how we started working with our neighbors, and again set that story in motion about the importance and power of community. And you can still get the show on DVD or Amazon Prime or iTunes. You can stream it.
And YouTube.
And YouTube, that's right.
And I have one patient that I believe buys a lot of your goods through a television sort of outlet.
Home shopping, yes. We work with a channel called Evine, which is actually been very, very powerful in terms of helping us meet new neighbors.
Yeah.
Because there is a large segment of the population who, they're limited mobility for one reason or another, or somehow isolated, and so they're sitting in their homes, and the only connection they have to the outside world sometimes is through what they're seeing on the television.
Right.
And it has just been such a powerful medium for us to communicate to people, and they call in when we're on and talk to us, and it expands the neighborhood.
Yeah, she warned me against the addictive nature of it. She said, like, it was a stern warning, like, you will get addicted and you will spend a lot of money. How many goats do you have now?
Now there are 117 goats on the farm.
Okay.
Which is pretty much where we can max out. That's what our barn will hold.
Yeah.
But what it has enabled us to do now, as the company has grown, is we now work with goat farms around the country to source milk for the skincare products. We still utilize the vast majority of our milk produced on our farm for the cheeses that we produce. And now we work with small goat farms across the country as well.
All right. Well, for those of you that missed some of the show, we have the amazing Beekman Boys, it's called, from Beekman 1802. Josh Kilmer Purcell, former advertising, a genius that brought that genius to this amazing brand. We have Brent Ridge, who's done so much in his life, and now they're together and have partnered with their neighbors. They've created one of the most amazing brands and up-and-coming companies, or fastest-growing companies, I should say, no longer up-and-coming because they're a household name. And they've done it all with a lot of love, and minus the greed, and a lot of help from their friends. We thank you for being such an inspiration, for showing us and giving us a template, and hopefully we'll see a lot more of this sort of approach to living and creating and to being a great neighbor.
Oh, thanks so much for chatting with us and introducing us to all of your neighbors.
Yes, I appreciate it. This has been another Maximum Health. This is Quality Living, and I am Dr. Ken Gray, holistic physician. See you next time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, there's gotta be something about it. Gonna tip me right.